Good morning, everyone. Can everyone hear me? Okay, on behalf of the Aetna Foundation and our invited speakers, I'd like to thank you for choosing to attend our session this morning on tech innovations with a focus on healthy communities and reducing racial and ethnic health equity, improving racial and ethnic health equity in the U.S. I'd also like to mention that Elise Sabina, one of our senior program officer, is at the front. So if anyone has any questions on our work afterwards, Elise is available to interact and respond to questions. So a couple of years ago, the Aetna Foundation decided that the improper use of technology and also lack of access to technological innovation, especially for minority populations and at-risk populations in the U.S., could potentially become, in the very near future, a good predictor of the health of those populations. So we made a decision to start investing in looking at what was out there in terms of technology and what was being used in minority populations as well as at-risk populations here in the U.S. A bit about our mission. Our mission is to promote wellness, health, and access to high-quality health care for everyone while supporting the communities we serve. And a lot of our investments don't sit at the top of the triangle. I don't know if any of you have seen this diagram. It was produced by Tom Frieden. But most interventions that focus on at-risk communities and also minority populations here in the U.S., especially if they're related to improving health outcomes and to focus on disparities, tend to not really look at the social determinants. They tend to be very much individual behavior focused and sometimes don't pay close attention to the context in which some of the disparities in health outcomes are facilitated. So when we looked at this, we saw that there were opportunities for expansion at the lower three levels of the triangle and to really pay attention to intersectoral policies at the local, state, and national level if we wanted to focus on technology and mHealth. So it's just not looking at an app. It's just not looking at other digital platforms, but really also grounding our work in policy. So I'm sure some of you listened to Professor Michael Marmot yesterday, and I remember when I was at WHO that we used this as a foundation for a lot of the work that we did with countries. You know, this statement I think is telling. It just doesn't apply to issues outside the U.S., but also here in the U.S. You know, why do we keep treating people for illnesses only to send them back to the conditions that created illness in the first place? So it means that to look at technology as a potential tool for addressing the determinants of health, that we should also look at the context in which some of the health disparities are created. So our opportunity here is to look at technological innovations and how they can promote healthy communities and racial and ethnic health equity in the United States. A little bit about digital platforms and mHealth. I'm sure that most of you have seen this data already, looking at the penetration of mobile phone usage in the U.S. and also abroad. In fact, mobile phone or smartphone adoption occurred at a much more rapid rate than even adoption of computers and laptops and so on. And when we look at low-income and minority communities in the U.S., they tend to be the heavy users of smartphones to access the internet. And the thinking is that this is because that they don't have access to broadband at home, so there's a lot of smartphone usage to access information on the internet. Examples of digital platforms, we all know about apps, websites, dynamic platforms, e-learning environments, curated content sources, social media, apps. I'm sure a lot of you have already downloaded the the APHA, the meeting app here also. Websites, I know people go to WebMD, for example, to access health information. YouTube is a good example of a dynamic platform. For an e-learning environment, the Khan Academy, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the Khan Academy, is a good example of an e-learning environment. And social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and for a curated content source, actually YouTube and Pinterest are really good examples. So if we look at digital platforms, I think just looking at, if you look at some of the accessories attached to even computer use, you can get a good example of how rapid some of the innovation has occurred. And what we need to ask ourselves in public health is, are we keeping up with the technological innovation that has been occurring over the past 30 years, and have we been able to integrate that into public health to improve population health? So if you look at the evolution of the mouse, the first time the mouse was used was, if you spoke to someone in 1940, this is what they thought a mouse was. 1970, then we saw the mouse that we were accustomed using. By 2010, we were looking at the stylus, and of course now, you know, we have the technology where you can just slide and go from one domain to another, especially on apps and so on, not even using a mouse. So some of my colleagues at MIT say the mouse is already obsolete. A lot of us don't realize it, but it may already be obsolete. If we look at the smartphone, and this has really serious implications for public health, because it's public health, if our goal is to improve the health of populations, it's just not how we may collect data, but it's also how we may design our interventions. Because in 2013, 2014, we know that the smartphone has changed the way we receive, transmit, and share information, how fast we receive information, how knowledge is transmitted and shared, and how we socialize, interact with one another, and most importantly, it has changed the way how we learn. And also in how we communicate. If you try to communicate with a 16-year-old and you don't know what these words mean, there's an issue. So imagine if you're in adolescent health and you are trying to use technology to communicate with teenagers. You need to understand their language also. And I thought it was interesting putting a picture of a baby at a computer. I mean, it's having a baby at a... I mean, you actually see kids. I mean, there's rapid uptake with technology. Any of you who have 3-year-olds to 8-year-olds, you know, if you can't find something on a computer, I can tell you, I'm sure they can find what you can't. Some applications to public health, enhancing survey methodology, for example, and also interventions in healthcare services, prevention, health promotion, disease management. Put economics and finance here because we know poverty is a major determinant of health. So some of our public health interventions should really start looking at some of the social determinants of health outcomes and the policies that contribute to those determinants, and also the capacity to localize interventions to place. So these are the opportunities that we have looking at the what I would call the plethora of apps out in the field. You know, we can really look at how we can strengthen the evidence base of mHealth and tech strategies to promote more healthful choices at the community level, and also to see what we can do in scaling what's already working, as well as, I think it's, if we look at the last bullet, it's looking at how those strategies can be used in efforts to promote racial and ethnic health equity. We know that technology develops rapidly. So what may be important today may not be important in January. So it's just not keeping pace with technology, but understanding the fundamental components of technology that can be applicable to public health and some of the interventions that we may plan to undertake to improve population health.